Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Scripture this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. And should you like to follow along in the Pew Bible, it's in the New Testament on page 234. Now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an account of the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Fear, just the word, can kind of fill you with dread or send a shiver down your spine. A number of years ago, there was a very popular show on TV, which you may already know from the name of my sermon, Fear Factor, whose catchphrase was, "Imagine a world where your greatest fears become a reality." Now, I have to say, never a show I watched. I'm more of a Project Runway and Now the Voice kind of person in reality shows. But the premise was having contestants compete in extreme stunts. A couple of examples from the show's website include contestants collecting flags hung over an electrified maze suspended over water, or teams of family members riding on the grill of a speeding concrete truck, eating scorpions, and hanging from a helicopter as it flies over a fiery explosion. Fears come in all shapes and sizes, and I guess the common denominator is that most of us are afraid of something. There's a nonprofit organization, Anxiety Disorders Association of America, and according to them, 19 million people have specific phobias. Bridges, heights, public speaking, agoraphobia, water, the list just goes on and on. I helped teach vacation Bible school this past summer, a couple months ago now. And spiders. One of the times we were talking about fear, and spiders was a very big fear of many of the children. So Jerry Seinfeld, comedian, had this to say about fears. According to most studies, people's number one fear is public speaking. Number two is death. Death is number two. Does that sound right? That means for most people, if they go to a funeral, they'd rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy. The word fear is used over 300 times in the Bible. Almost every book of the Bible talks about fear at some place. And just as today, our ancestors in biblical times had many fears. Many related to God and his wrath back in that day, particularly in the Old Testament, thus the saying, the fear of God. As we examine fear today, I would like to repeat the scripture that Doug just read, but my version, I have to admit, I'm not sure what Bible I got my version from. The wording is a little different, so I'd ask you to listen as I read it again. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. I think that deep down, the thing that most people are afraid of is what other people think of them, that they will be viewed as stupid or uninformed or having beliefs that go against the norm. This often reaches a critical point with our kids when they're in high school or middle school. It's hard when you're young to stand up for someone that others are making fun of. It's hard to speak your opinion or share the opinion of your family about a current issue when you are in the minority. The thing that most kids strive for is to blend in, to not stand out for any reason that could possibly incur the laughter or the disdain of others. And for many of us, this fear carries over into our adult life. It's hard to be a Christian in our daily life at work sometimes, with our neighbors, our friends, or others that we encounter, to be proud of our beliefs in God, to tell others that we are a Christian and why, and back that up with our actions. The thing we should fear most is not living the abundant life that God has in store for us if we truly trust and believe in Him. If you flip over fear, on the other side you would find trust. The image that comes to mind for me is a small child, and I have to say, in this analogy, I am that child. You're standing on the edge of the pool with the encouraging parent in the water. Jump, jump, they're holding out their arms, jump to me. You can see the timid child and all these emotions that pass over their face as they're hovering on the side of the pool. Sometimes, many times, the parent is less than a foot away from the child, so there's not that great a risk to jump, but as I was as a child, that's my fear. It used to be water was my fear of drowning. I think many of us are like that in our faith. Jesus is like the parent. Jump in and trust me. Immerse yourself in this grace-filled, spiritually quenching life that I can give you. But you can't halfway jump into a pool. It's all or nothing, and that's what God demands of us. Do not be afraid to follow me. Not part of the way, not some of the time, every day of your life. Live for me so that I can give you eternal life. Like Jesus told the woman at the well, whoever drinks of the water that I give will never thirst. The water I shall give him will become a spring of water, welling up to eternal life, living water. Water played an important role in another familiar Bible story. Jesus calmed the fears of the disciples in the boat. The way is stormy and uncertain, but look at me. Keep your eyes on me, and I will calm your fears and your anxieties. Sometimes the Lord calms the storm. Sometimes he lets the storm rage and he calms the child. I wish I could claim that statement as my own, but I found it online with no known author. Prayer is also a path to fully realizing God's intentions for our life and for resolving our fears. We pray to God to give us courage, wisdom, humility, guidance, and comfort, to direct our path away from fear and anxiety towards that inner peace that can center us and fill us with certainty. One of the little things I think was mentioned earlier is that I have to sort of repeat under my breath sometimes is, be still and know that I am God. If you know me, some of you do, the be still part is the hard part. listen to that inner voice to help you be calm. Turn your worries over to God. And that's the goal and the challenge that I think we all face as Christians today. A number of years ago, I was flying back to Salt Lake, probably from Atlanta, which is where I'm from. It was night. The flight was full. They always are full. And I was like, we're just about to close the doors. I had an empty seat next to me. So that's kind of a rarity these days as you travel, particularly here to Salt Lake. And of course, right when they were about to close the doors, a young woman boarded the plane. She's kind of rushed and harried. You could tell she'd hurried to make the flight. And she has the seat next to me. About 15 minutes into the flight, she turned to me and she said, "Are you a Christian?" Now, I don't know about you, I don't really have many people ask me that question, just random conversation, and especially not a stranger on a plane. I replied that I was. She went on to tell me the reason for her journey. She was from Minnesota, part of a large extended family, and they had gotten word that her nephew, who was living here in Salt Lake, had been in a terrible motorcycle accident and was not expected to live. The parents of this boy lived in a small town. She was deemed the relative closest to an airport who could jump on a plane and try to get here before he died so he would have a family member when he died with him. She pulled out her Bible and we prayed together on that crowded flight. She was resolute in her faith. She was young. She was not that old, young woman. She was on this mission for her family. We talked and I learned more about her family and her sister's family and this young man and why he had come to Salt Lake, and also about her beliefs. I have thought about her courage often. What kind of courage does it take to turn to a stranger on a plane and ask them about their beliefs? Many people would have been too afraid to share their fear at that moment and to ask for the prayers and the blessings of a seatmate on a plane. But in Christ, we are truly brothers and sisters, as this incident really brought home to me. Our prayers were joined together, fervent and from the heart. My daughter Rachel has a part of her wall is chalkboard paint, so she can write on it. And she has the following scripture from Joshua on her wall. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Prayer can indeed lead us away from fear and toward a more fully realized life in Christ. The final way we can live that abundant life is my favorite one, to act. Fear can block us from acting on our faith and from reaching out to those in need. When I first moved here, in fact, it will be 25 years this coming week. After the first year or two I was here, I was United Methodist Women President. Not long after I had that position, one of our members' husband passed away of cancer. And I had the task of calling her to find out if our group could bring in meals, what kind of food did they need for the funeral, kind of normal stuff. I was terrified. I'd never called someone before in grief. I was kind of young back then. I had never had to reach out to someone in grief before who had just lost a loved one, and particularly their spouse. I didn't know this person very well. And I probably sat there with the phone in my hand, I would say 30 minutes. I was afraid to call her because you're afraid. What do you say? What if you say the wrong thing? I was kind of frozen with fear to make this phone call that I knew I had to make. I thought I would make the situation worse, of course. I called her. The call was appreciated. She was happy for the help that we offered. And it made me, of course, realize that taking action when someone is in need, even if it seems awkward or difficult, it's usually appreciated more than seen as offensive. People usually want you to say something, and they appreciate that you are reaching out in love and concern. So I ask you, here at church, is it awkward or tricky to walk up to someone who's new and talk to them and introduce yourself, invite them to come in for coffee? On the flip side, it's also kind of scary being the new person, and we have new people that visit our church every single week. So if you're on the other side of the coin where maybe you're relatively new here, hopefully it's not as scary for you to tell someone, "Hey, I just moved here," or "I'm visiting here today," or "I love this church. I can't wait to come back." So we want to take small actions that may seem awkward, but speaking and acting usually is always, not always, but most of the time is better than remaining silent and being quiet. God, as Dennis, I love that Dennis says this a lot, God wants us to leave the building. And that's one of my favorite things that he says. to be in the world as his representative, banish fear, and reach out in faith. A movie I found charming, and I don't even know how long it came out again, is We Bought a Zoo. Has anybody seen that movie? It's just really cute. And it's the true story of a widower who is depicted in the movie by Matt Damon trying to put his life together with his kids after the death of his wife. He is counseling his teenage son about letting a girl he likes know that he likes her, how to do that. And here's what he says to his son. You know, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. Literally, 20 seconds of just embarrassing bravery. And I promise you, something great will come of it. 20 seconds. Can't we do almost anything for 20 seconds? Such a small amount of time. It's a little saying, again, I use with my youngest daughter some in high school. 20 seconds, that's all you need. Just 20 seconds to do what you need to get done and then move on. That's what we need to remember, just to go for it sometimes. I want to repeat verse 15 of the Peter scripture. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. What is the reason for your hope? What is the reason that we do this, that we come here every week, that we make a commitment of our time, our talents, our gifts, our service, and our witness? Because our single voice joined with others becomes a mighty choir. Our actions joined with fellow Christians can create a groundswell of change for the betterment of those in need. I heard a story after Hurricane Katrina. Of course, there were hundreds of relief workers, volunteers, and manpower in the area to help those in need. But a man was heard to say, "I've never heard of that church Umpore, but that's the one I want to join." United Methodist Committee on Relief, the disaster relief arm of the Methodist Church, giving out needed flood buckets, hygiene kits, and items desperately needed by those who had lost everything. Taking action in the name of Christ. So I end with a visual that I've used many times. So some of you have probably heard this before. But here's my picture of the church. We're all in a big circle. We're all holding hands. But we're connected to each other through our touch and our love, our service, our prayers, and our commitment. But the circle is not facing inward. We're not just looking at each other in those thoughts. We're facing outward. So our circle is facing outward to see how we can look out, connected as the Church of Christ, and make a difference in the lives of other people. One small action at a time. So face your fears, whatever they may be. Trust in God. Pray to God. And finally, do something in the name of Christ. Amen.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.